Whether you live in a big house or a tiny apartment, on a beach or in a bustling city, television is full of opportunities for you to ruminate on your living space. And nowhere is that impulse more prevalent than on HGTV.
One of Basic Cable's most basic networks, HGTV has been handing out advice and house envy for a long time. 4 years ago, we sat down with our friends Kat Chow and Barry Hardiman to talk about it. I'm Glenn Weldon.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're revisiting our discussion of HGTV and home makeover shows on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor StoryPoint Wines, maker of StoryPoint, a wine brand who believes that wine and storytelling are the perfect pair. Much like a good podcast, StoryPoint builds layers of interest to create a premium wine at an affordable price. Discover why StoryPoint received Wine Enthusiast's Best Buy Award. Visit StoryPointWines.com/happyhour to purchase. As a special offer to NPR listeners, shipping is included in your online order of 3 bottles or more.
Kat is like pumping her fists with excitement. Kat has wanted to talk about HGTV. Here on Pop Culture Happy Hour,
ever since I was born.
Kat, what is your obsession with this genre? What is its basis?
Okay. So first, I think we should just start by talking about HGTV more generally.
Right.
Where
yep.
There is just something so comforting about watching people go in and either renovate their homes or buy these homes. And the way I've been thinking about it lately is it's this complete fantasy because there's no way that I'm going to be able to afford a house or buy one or probably like redecorate my basement apartment. But each of these shows, we know that they're all fake. Their premise is completely just for the most part not true, where for house hunters, for example, you see them go in and you see them look at like 2 or 3 houses. And at this point, they've already bought their house.
There's been a lot of reporting,
right?
At least in some cases. I mean, it's very hard to verify.
Don't ruin
for
it.
Sure in it. But yeah,
I'm kidding.
That some of this is theater.
Right. It's a lot of theater. And I've been wondering, you know, why am I so drawn to this theater when I already know that they're going to land with a house that they love and they're just going to live happily ever after? I don't really know what that draw is, but it's just so comforting to me.
Yeah. You're a House Hunters guy, Glenn, right?
I am.
You're a House Hunter International, right?
Yeah, there's House Hunters and House Hunters International. Yeah. And the difference in the annoyance level of the two different people who are on those shows are the difference between a wasp sting and a sucking chest wound. The people on International are awful. They're universally awful. But, you know, I watch those shows because I'm an American. I got 2 ears and a heart. You know, it's just part of the deal. Actually, for those two shows, and for a lot of these shows, it helps to be Canadian because they are all stealthily Canadian.
A lot of them are stealthily Canadian.
Yeah,
that's
this house is about $250,000. It's like, aha, I got you, Tim Horton. I know what's going on there.
Unless it's like Island House Hunters or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the international ones tell you explicitly where people are coming from and where they're going. But I'm also a beachfront bargain hunt person and
I was going to ask about beachfront bargain hunt because I saw that kind of going by the other day and I was like, what is the point of this one?
It's exactly the same. They're all the same. But ostensibly, the people on Beachfront Bargain Hunt and Lakefront Bargain Hunt have a lower budget than the kind of people who have just thrown money at the wind. I'm also a fan of the life, your Caribbean life, your island life, your mountain life, your log cabin living.
Or we bought the farm.
Why the difference there? What is that? Why can't it just be a log cabin life?
Huh.
Maybe because it's too similar to mountain life?
I don't know. Maybe
do you feel like that really resonates with you as someone who kind of has a log cabin?
Well, I was going to bring this up, actually. I have a second home, but I think this whole watching this over and over again put the bug in me and my husband to kind of think about getting a second home. And could we do it without being as insufferable as the people we see on TV? I don't know if we did.
How's it going?
Yeah, remains to be seen.
It's really nice, though. I've been there.
Yeah, but the sameness of this structure, all of these shows I've just mentioned, including House Hunters Off the Grid, House Hunters on Vacation.
I didn't know there was such a thing as House Hunters Off the Grid.
And House Hunters, Where Are They Now? Which is
I love that
my
one.
Favorite.
It is my favorite.
Because what it does is, you know that thing at the end where they're like, 3 months later, and you're like, 3 months later is not long enough time. I need more time. I want to see the friction we've seen between this couple. I want to see it exacerbated after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. I want to see what happens to, say, the white lady in dreadlocks who goes down to Ecuador to teach them about composting
and open a chai
yoga studio.
Oh, no.
I want to know where that ends up.
Yeah.
So that's what that show's about. That you get to see a pit of despair.
Yes.
How about you, Barry? Where are you on these shows?
So I love these shows, and for a couple of different reasons, some of which we've talked about. One, I also love structure, and mm-hmm. I love them for the same reason, Kat, that you're talking about, that I love Law and Order.
Yeah.
So you know what's going to happen. You're going to see House 1, you're going to see House 2, you're going to see... So that is actually very comforting.
Yes.
So there's that. But the thing I really... that gets my soul is that at their heart, these are makeover shows.
Yeah.
And even the House Hunters, there's this sense of like people go in one way and they come out another.
Right. They're better off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that it's theater. You know, I know it sometimes I like to make fun of the obvious parts of the theater, you know, like, but there is something really, because I love Property Brothers.
Oh, so good.
Love me some Chip and Joanna Gaines. Mm-hmm. I love all form of reality makeover. And, you know, the thing about Property Brothers is that, A, you do learn a little something. I'm sort of in between you two. I just have the one home, but I have renovated before. And it's kind of fun. Every now and then, you know, you do learn that actually this synthetic wood is better and cheaper.
Or that shiplap is a thing.
Yes, exactly.
I know what shiplap is.
Yeah.
This is why. Yeah, I am a Property Brothers person also. Mm-hmm. And I think Property Brothers, if anything, is even more theater.
Yes.
I mean, it's certainly at least as much theater as House Hunters in some ways. Because the funny thing about Property Brothers is every episode of Property Brothers, the people start off, they say, we don't want to renovate. We just want a house that's move-in ready.
Yes.
Which would make you useless for Property
Brothers. For this show, right.
So they say, oh, we don't want to renovate. We want it to be move-in ready. Right. So they take them to a house that's all move-in ready, and they love it. And they say, oh, this is great. And they're ready to sign on the dotted line. And then they say, how much does it cost? And then the brother with the suit on, as opposed to the brother with the flannel shirt on, the brother with the suit on reveals that the house costs $5 million and their budget is only $2 million or something like that. And then they say, oh, I can't believe you built us up and then you tore us down. And that's what happens at the beginning of every single episode.
I love that beginning.
If the Property Brothers take you to a house that doesn't have a purple toilet and like wasted away shag carpeting, that's the trick house.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the one.
If you can open the bathroom door, nope.
If all the doors open and shut easily, if there's not like just a bare light bulb hanging from a wire in the middle of the kitchen, this is the trap. You can't afford this house. And it's so ridiculous, and yet I find it soothing. I think Barry's exactly right with the Law and Order comparison. It's like you know you're going to get a resolution, even more than with Law and Order, where sometimes you are left in some sort of state of, you know, uncertainty or ambivalence about the ending. Mm-hmm. That will never happen on Property Brothers.
No.
You're never like, even on something like when TLC used to have Trading Spaces.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
every now and then on Trading Spaces, they would make the room over and somebody would be like, it's different. Like always on Property Brothers, once the house is renovated, the people come back. They're never like, yeah, I'll get used to it. They always come back
tears.
And they're like,
there's
I
always
can't
tears.
It. And there's a there's a glass pitcher full of lemons and limes on the kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm. And Drew pretends to help move that one pillow over.
Ding ding. That's right. And then the people come in and it's amazing. You know, I mentioned Trading Spaces. That was kind of my introduction to this genre.
It was everybody's introduction, I think, to this genre. Because that was really far back. You know, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that's where all the bones of this whole whole network was built, even though it was a different network.
No,
but
it's true.
They learned things like...
And this old house, I should
say. I was just about to say, this old house. I was raised on this old house. And
But Trading Spaces is personality.
Yeah, this old house is boring. This old house is How To.
This is not How To. It's like the Yeah.
Unless you really like those accents. And I do.
Sure. Yeah, but the thing about Trading Spaces that I just realized looking back on it is how cheaply done it was. That was the idea, of course, but everything looked crappy, especially if you got Frank. That's a thing that they've kind of pivoted away from, right? That show created a lot of the DNA, but then also it taught people what people don't want, which is people being disappointed.
Yeah,
we want this thing to be on rails.
Although,
we want this to be slick.
Nice thing about always having them be happy is that every now and then when you're, as Kat says, searching for the in-between, when you do see like a twinkle, you see the woman look over her shoulder and be like, I'm going to move that couch.
Although it is true that what has emerged is a bunch of shows where people are happy. The Trading Spaces episodes where people are unhappy, some of them are classics.
Well, of course.
Genius. I don't know if you have familiar with Crying Pam.
Crying Pam.
But there's an episode well known as Crying Pam where Pam and her husband, I guess, had their family room redone and she hated everything.
You guys are going to be fixing that in a little bit. So,
Yeah, well, I just see a lot of firewood.
So, I'm going to have to leave the room now. You're that disappointed? Well...
Boy, she's not happy. She's really not happy.
And she was crying, and it was very sad. And at the same time, it's so weird, and it's kind of a classic episode of Trading Spaces because you sit there and you think, she's serious.
Yeah.
She's really sad about this. But the good thing is, it's going to be fine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All they did was put a cardboard box around your fireplace.
Totally right.
Just take
it's
it down.
Press board in 2 minutes. It's back to normal.
It's press board. It's up there with maybe a glue stick.
Right. Yeah.
Just pull on it. It's going to come right off. Right. That's the good news.
Yeah. And I also, I will say, and I do like to, obviously I like to say, yeah, I don't like that shag carpet, but I also do like that there is, this is maybe too high-handed, but there is this thing about creating your home.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like a shag carpet. And that's when I just like to say, wow, different strokes.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, nobody likes that weird fake bear rug I have in my bedroom. But you know who does? Me, with my little tootsies in the morning.
And mm-hmm.
So there is that kind of, I do just like to see the way people live in the same way that it's not necessarily that I feel superior so much as I just like to see that diorama, you know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just interesting.
I want to talk about one other thing, which is the tiny house.
Oh, yeah.
Currently,
yeah.
the thing, not just on HGTV, but on some of these other channels, is the tiny house mm-hmm. show.
Ugh.
How do you feel about the tiny house show, Kat?
Well, okay, so I have, like, so many mixed feelings about Tiny House Hunters because, I mean, this
and
is,
it's
like...
It's the house that's tiny, not the hunter.
That's a good
no.
clarification, yeah.
the
so it's these people who
hunter.
Really say that they want to have this, downsize their home so that they can enjoy other things in life, you know, like go travel or something, but still own property. And at first, I was so furious with this show because it's people who want to fit king-size beds or they're like five German shepherds inside a 200-square-foot home. But then, I don't know, as I started watching more and more and more because they'd been having these huge marathons this past summer, I realized that, like, I started getting that inkling, kind of like what Glenn was saying.
Like,
and
I could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, there's like, something yeah. nice about not having stuff.
If you want to feel... like, you are definitely not the kind of person who would go on House Hunters International and say a line like, I don't think that lap pool is big enough for our dogs.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you want
right.
to be not that guy,
right.
then it might appeal to you.
I
However,
feel superior to that guy.
Yeah, of course you do. However, I live in a 700-square-foot apartment, which is
yeah.
kind of why I got the second
yeah.
house. And
yeah.
I feel no desire to go even smaller and less and more Spartan.
No, that's
I just don't. I've never watched any of those shows because
right.
I just
that's
don't,
a fair point.
I don't find it.
Another show that I wanted to bring up also was, so a lot of these shows that we've talked about are all about like the couple going on an adventure together for
mm-hmm.
the most part
right,
or
sure.
agreeing. One show that I really just have started despising is Love It or List It because it really just pits the usually the it's very heteronormative, like the husband and the wife
yeah,
against
right,
each other. And
yeah.
there's
so
one person
this,
who wants to stay or
right.
leave.
So in this show, there is a real estate agent and mm-hmm. there is a renovator slash designer.
Hillary and David.
And Hillary, the renovator slash designer, renovates your current house. David takes you out to look for a new house. David wants you to buy a new house. Hillary wants you to stay in your existing house. And you have to decide at the end, did she do enough to get you to stay in your current house? Or did he show you a house so great that now you are going to, you just have to move.
So what are the odds? How's it break down? 50-50? Exactly 50-50?
That's a good
50,
question.
50?
I feel like a lot of times people leave because Hillary just messes the house up even more.
Where no, I feel like people often
designer.
Stay. I feel like yeah. people often stay. And my feeling, and I don't know if you agree with this, Kat, but I feel like in this show, as you were saying, the heteronormativity plays out in that the husband wants to leave and the wife wants to stay.
Right, yeah.
If the issue is the husband wants like more space or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the ones where the husband wants to stay, a lot of times he's just annoyed and he doesn't want to move, it seems like.
That's true.
I don't know. But go ahead. You were saying it pits them against each other.
It pits them against each other and it gets, well, first of all, the hosts, David and Hillary, they're pitted against each other. And it's this whole, like, there's this like weird underlying sexual tension that HGTV totally tried to play up in some commercials that then went away really quickly. I don't know if you guys saw them. It was like last year, kind of winterish. and I actually tried really hard to find them on YouTube. Because I was like, am I seeing
this
things
real thing?
Like they're like she has
is that
like
a fever dream?
Yeah, was it actually a dream that a fantasy? No, but so it starts with the two hosts being pitted against each other, and then like the rest of the show is just this couple fighting, and mm-hmm. I don't love that because yeah. like I go to watch HGTV not to have stress about spouses, but
although I do go to HGTV to see relationships between people and between mm-hmm. couples in particular, because that is another sort of enjoyable yeah. thing, because then you look around the house and you note the things that you know were you were forced into yeah. keeping or you know or, that belonged to a previous marriage.
Weirdly on House Hunters, Leslie and her friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, yeah. but I will say on that point, this is the other thing I was going to say, and this goes back to Trading Spaces.
Yeah.
Trading Spaces and all these HGTV shows have had gay couples before scripted television yes. had very many of
That's
them.
That's true.
And so although there may sometimes be the woman and her friend, Fran, mm-hmm. there are also quite a lot of all of these where it is a gay couple, is an out gay couple. And they were doing that, I think. My Early. Recollection is there were gay couples on Trading Spaces. And that at the time was... That was well ahead of scripted in, mm-hmm. in my recollection, in terms of like not never, in terms of it being kind of something that happened relatively regularly mm-hmm. and frequently. I feel like they were ahead of scripted.
Yep.
We want to know what you think about your favorite home makeover shows. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, subscribe to our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all back here next time.
On the next episode of Louder Than a Riot, Bobby Shmurda's transition from the streets to superstardom and how viral fame led to infamy.
I don't ask people from the hood if they got criminal activity going on. I know in hip-hop, the badder, the better.
Listen now to Louder Than a Riot from NPR Music.